We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, talking here with Dr. Timothy Schaefer here as we continue our discussion here on civics. And the news of the day here is the impeachment trial. It sounds like, from what I've heard on CBS News this morning, that we're really close to maybe wrapping up this whole impeachment trial. Senator Lamar Alexander
from Tennessee, who was actually retiring, which is where I think he became an interesting kind of actor in the story, because many saw him as potentially someone who would kind of buck the trend, in particular leadership of Speaker McConnell and the Majority Leader. Sorry, not Speaker, Majority Leader McConnell. And so the wild card there seemed to have been kind of clarified when he came out and said he would not vote for witnesses, which has been the position argued by Democrats to this point, but not exclusively, because also Senator Romney from Utah has said he is going to vote for witnesses. So there are still at least a couple who are Republican and thinking about the issue for themselves, slightly more independently, right, than others, because they're, I mean, largely falling into kind of the party's standard views. So it'll be an interesting moment. But if it comes through, as now some are saying, because certain numbers need to be able to cross that threshold of majority, this may move relatively quickly from here without the witnesses that are being requested from the Democratic side, saying that, you know, how do we have a trial without having some of these voices that haven't been heard? And, you know, the Republicans said, well, the House brought these charges forward, and these cases for impeachment for trial, and, you know, these should have been settled previously. So it goes. We're talking kind of quietly about it now as just a thing. In the past, though, this is, you know, part of the complication of, you know, these long kind of drawn out court battles, because the administration didn't want anyone to speak, right? So kind of stonewalled there. And so House moved forward with a couple instances here. And I think we're hopeful that the Senate would raise this question. But this has been, for anybody who's been following it from the beginning, one of those arguments that they didn't want to see witnesses at the onset or not, because they wanted to be able to move through some of these pieces and at this point say, are we going to do witnesses or not? And as the chips are falling, it is seemingly slightly more clear. The real, if anybody follows this from a kind of a political science standpoint or the like, would say, if this comes down to 50-50, then Chief Justice Roberts, who is presiding over this, would potentially have a vote, and would he actually do that or would he not? I mean, all these kinds of things. So I would encourage people to pay attention for the next few days, because it seems to be having a lot of implications.
Yeah, and it's interesting here, because I think a lot of us who maybe don't follow it as closely, You see just where the majorities are lying. The Democrats have the majority in the House. The Republicans have the majority in the Senate. And this is maybe the outcome a lot of people predicted would happen, that they would impeach him in the House and then get ultimately acquitted in the Senate. Because everything seems to be on party lines here. And did the Democrats not do enough then in the House to...
Well, I mean, the short version of it is that I mean, this is not a criminal or civil trial, right? Impeachment processes and then the trial, as we're at the phase that we're in now, is different from those, right? The senators, for example, are not simply jurors. They have a slightly different role. And it's political, right? I mean, so it always is. So we can't kind of wash it of that. I think the critique and the concern that especially Democrats have, and others, especially commentators about it, would say is that the impeachment process in the House was unable, because of the administration's position of saying no one from within this administration will be available to speak and kind of interact in those ways. And that had limited significantly who was able to inform what ended up being the articles of impeachment, what got voted for by the House. And that's where we are. So former Ambassador John Bolton is the really interesting character that I think Senator Romney said is the person he would really want to hear from, because he has apparently a forthcoming book that will be out in March. He was involved in these conversations and would actually counter what President Trump and supporters have said, and his counsel have said. And so that's where I think the Senate Democrats have really said, you know, maybe it's not widely that we just need this whole group of witnesses, but we really need to be able to hear from a select group, especially someone like that. And, you know, that's where the Republicans have, you know, this is where majorities and numbers matter. If they have the ability to hold that back, I think the larger implication is that what does it mean if, right, because you need two-thirds, right, to actually remove someone from office, which is a very high threshold, and understandably, right, you really don't want something like this to be framed as being partisan by any stretch, regardless of party. But if you don't have the kind of constitutive elements that would say, we have done our due diligence, the Senate typically is referred to as this the greatest deliberative body in the world, it doesn't seem very deliberative if you're not taking into account the information that might help inform your decision and your thinking about the issue.
Turn some stuff down here. Sorry, I had a little feedback there. Well, it's interesting, yeah, because the implications are going to be for future presidents here. You know, what's the precedent for?
Yeah, right. And this is where, you know, we've only had two of these trials in our past. And if we will follow precedent, we have had witnesses. Part of the argument was that they were also part of the process through which the House was voting. The difference was that those were kind of brought about differently than this one has been. So there aren't witnesses. So this is where it gets, I think, really challenging from that standpoint. And I think really the going forward question is the hard one, is how do we, as the one of the president's counsel noted, that basically the nation's interest isn't, if the president has the view that his or her reelection is in the nation's interest, then if it's not criminal, that should be permissible. Well, part of the impeachment process is to basically be the legislative body's capacity to intercede in what they see as maybe being inappropriate behavior, even if it's not criminal and such. And this is where it's setting it up for, I think, implications going down the line, because the polarization and kind of this kind of partisan framing of just about everything doesn't seem to be going away immediately. And so what does that say for us going forward, right? Because you don't want to have this happening not every election, but frequently enough to where this becomes now seen as just another tool to the impasse of what should be functioning bodies.
I'll tell you what, ever since, and of course I'm younger, so I remember back to the Clinton administration pretty well, but ever since then, it seems like every president we've had, the opposing party that's not in office brings up impeachment. We impeach Bush, impeach Obama, and, you know, it'll be said again going forward.
Well, it's a phrase that can be kind of wielded, and I think unfortunately, and sometimes, you know, this gets exacerbated by kind of like framing of media, for example, of the intensity of just about every scenario. And impeachment is supposed to be fairly extreme, right? That it would only come about because of issues that are of grave importance and significance, and not simply because I don't like this person or I disagree with their policies, those types of things. And so I think we've somewhat kind of diminished the significance of some of that language. And also, I mean, to your point, and I experience it as someone who is often, you know, I'm in classrooms with undergraduate and graduate students, but especially the undergraduates, right? They are all, unsurprisingly or not, right, born in 2000s. And they are, especially first-year students and going forward, but they have only experienced politics in the ways that I think we think of it. And so when you look at it from a kind of a longitudinal standpoint, you can see this real fracturing, the loss of the conservative Democrat and the liberal Republican, depending on where they're from geographically, having that be a real departure in the early 90s, right? So, and we can see that with Gingrich in the House as Speaker, and really this sense of how do we wedge some of these issues and really kind of divide in that way. And that's been, I think, unfortunate, because that's the only frame of reference that especially young people have now of politics. And so the disinterest in some of these things is unsurprisingly grounded in the fact of, like, this is just a mess to begin with, right? The hearkening back, I mean, even thinking about the Democratic candidates right now former Vice President Joe Biden has really talked about this kind of thing of, you know, if I'm elected, we'll be able to, we'll work across these party lines, and we've done this historically. I mean, if you talk to retired senators, for example, they all kind of highlight this of, we used to get together over the weekends, we'd have our kids together, we'd barbecue, we had different policies, positions, but we saw each other as people, so-and-so. One of the differences is, I mean, a lot of things, but politicians don't do that, right? They kind of jet set in and out. They're, you know, notoriously a few years ago, there were all these stories of legislators, representatives, and senators basically, like, you know, sharing cots in a room and all, because they're not living there, right? The trade-off is that if they're there for a number of days and they're back and they're fundraising in their respective states and all of this, they're not kind of sharing life with one another. And so there's all these layers that kind of add to it that are really potentially impactful, and it's hard to say right now for a lot of folks that there are possibilities of it being something other than this, beyond something radically occurring. And arguably, this is something pretty significant, and it seems like we're staying pretty rigidly within our lanes.
Yeah, it's frustrating, definitely, when we have all the bickering going on. Well, let's take a quick time out. We'll come back and continue our chat with Dr. Timothy Schaefer when we return on News Radio KMAN.